Hi, friends. How are we looking today? Well, I'm glad you are here. Today we return to Luke's Gospel, which we've been working through over the last several months. Today we'll meet two sisters through whom Jesus will teach us something about discipleship. Before we come there, let's ask the Lord to help us learn together, shall we? Father, help us today to set aside our bustling and our busyness long enough that we might listen and learn. Help us hear you today. I know we come from all different backgrounds. We're at all different points on this journey together. But I pray that each one of us comes to know you more. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Most of you know I'm father of three wonderful girls. Emma recently turned 10. Morgan and Alyssa are 5. I love being the father of girls. I'm telling you, I'm just wired for it. I really am. And girls are easy. They are. And I hear they get easier when they turn 13. I love being the father of girls, but I have one regret of not having boys. There's one thing I think I miss out on. No, it is not football games. It's Legos. Do I have any Lego fans in the room? Woo! Yeah. You know what? I tried, but I could not get them interested in Legos. I worked for years on Emma, working with the twins. Wasn't going to happen. I loved Legos when I was a kid. Back then we had space Legos. Those were my favorite ones. But today, I walked down the aisle at the toy store, and they have Star Wars Legos and Lord of the Rings Legos. They recently introduced comic book heroes. Have you seen the Avengers Legos? Oh. For years, I tried but failed to interest my girls in Legos until last year. In 2012, Lego introduced their Friends line. The Lego Friends story centers around the everyday lives and personalities of 5 girls in a fictional town called Heart Lake City. Each of the friends has a distinct personality and interest. One of the girls is into animals. The other one is into design. One of them is into performing arts. Look at this. That's a drum set. Rock on. Here's a photo of the city pool, complete with hot tub, snack shack, and restrooms. We recently bought the girls Olivia's house, which cost an arm and a leg. Our girls will not be attending college, but they're playing with Legos right now. And now, our girls like to build things and use their imaginations with Legos. But the thing the girls seem to like most about playing with Legos is playing with Legos with Daddy. For my birthday, they bought me Hulk's Helicarrier Breakout so I could have something awesome while I played with them. Lord, help me never to forget. Lord, help me never to forget. Whatever I do with my kids or for my kids, it's much more important to be with my kids. I can offer them food and shelter. I can build them a house or buy them a car. I can buy them any set of Lego they might want. But it is by far more important that I be with them. Today, Luke's story offers us a similar lesson, for a different reason, and from a different perspective, We pick up where we left off last week. The story is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Remember, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. As he travels, he's dependent upon the hospitality of people who welcome him into their homes. In their culture, high expectations dictated the host's obligations, and Martha intends to exceed those expectations, because this just isn't any guest. This isn't just any teacher. This is Jesus. We know from John 11, Martha believes he's the Messiah. The Messiah is the king, but he's not just any king, not in Martha's mind. The Messiah is God's handpicked conqueror who will usher in God's rule and reign on earth. This is a big deal on a big day for Martha. What would you do if you hosted a special guest at your house tonight? What if you found out in just an hour or so that tonight you'd be host to Peyton Manning or George Clooney or Barack Obama? Do you think you'd tidy up the house a bit this afternoon? Would you put a little thought into the menu? A few weeks ago, a snowstorm allowed Margaret Feinberg to become our unexpected house guest. And if we'd planned for it, it would have been great. But let me just say, her accommodations were less than ideal. Our house wasn't perfectly clean. We didn't have a meal prepared. So our friend Margaret had to settle for takeout and Legos. And most of you know her, so you know that fit well for her. But that was Margaret. In Luke 10, this is the Messiah. And Martha wanted everything to be just right. She prepared the finest food for the finest guest. The passage doesn't offer any details, but Luke implies she goes all out. When I think of Martha, I don't see an easygoing Rachel Ray. I picture a meticulous Martha Stewart. I imagine handmade napkin rings on a table with personalized votive candles and an edible centerpiece. Martha's the matron of the home, which means she's the hostess, but the hostess has a sibling, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Mary's sitting while Martha is working. Luke wants us to see the contrast. But before you start comparing Mary to your lazy, good-for-nothing sibling, let me explain what's actually going on. Mary isn't being lazy. She's listening. In fact, Luke's language is astonishing. That phrase, to sit at one's feet, is an expression in Hebrew. It means to be a student. It means to be a disciple. Luke uses it again in Acts chapter 22 when he speaks of the apostle Paul studying under a famous rabbi named Gamaliel. Here, Mary's acting as one of the boys. Why this jumps off the page is, folks, rabbis didn't take on women disciples. In that day, women weren't offered a formal education after a certain age. There's a document called the Mishnah. It was a collection of oral traditions. And at one place it says, if a man gives his daughter a knowledge of the law of Moses, it's as though he taught her sexual promiscuity. Yeah. Needless to say, in that culture, Mary has crossed a clear line. And Jesus lets her do it. The contrast between the sisters sharpens in the next verse. Mary's sitting and listening, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Let's talk about much serving. Maybe you noticed I'm using a different translation of the Bible than I normally use. This is the English Standard Version. It comes a little closer to Luke's original Greek sentences, and I think it's going to be helpful for us today as we unpack this story. Luke tells us Martha is diverted by much serving. Now, much serving is a good thing. Throughout Luke's gospel, we've seen serving is an essential part of the life of a disciple. Back in Luke 9, we saw the disciples arguing over who's the greatest. Jesus says, actually, the least is the greatest. And he challenges his followers to devote themselves to a life of service. Now, there's nothing wrong with much serving. And there's nothing wrong with hard work. Pouring yourself into something like Martha did not only is biblically tolerated, it's encouraged. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Paul says, whatever you do, whether that's pushing buttons or flipping burgers or curing cancer or raising kids, whatever you do, do it with everything in you. Put everything you've got into it, because doing so can be an act of worship. Doing and serving and giving and going can be a beautiful expression of the love of Jesus to people around us. No, serving's not the problem here. And Martha's problem in Luke 10 is it's not that she made this elaborate meal. You know, her meal really could have been a blessing to Jesus and the disciples who traveled with him. A few weeks ago here at Capitol, it was Super Bowl weekend. And that was a weekend when all of the ladies in my household were sick. Suzanne and the three girls. I was here all weekend alone. We had plans to go to a Super Bowl party that we go to every year. We had canceled those plans. After the 11 o'clock service, a family in our church pulled me aside and asked what my plans were for dinner that evening. Well, I laughed, and because of the sickness, it was probably takeout or PBJs or something. I don't know what it was going to be. They said, "Let us cook for you." Here's why this is a big deal. My friends happen to own the finest meat market in the state. Oh my. So I get a text, oh, a little before kickoff, and they say, "Hey, we're coming over." Okay. So they come, they bring in bags of food. We've got homemade chili verde, homemade baked beans, homemade smoked brisket chili. Good night. I know. We've got chips. We've got salad. I mean, it just goes on and on. Then they said, "Okay, we'll be back in about an hour." I said, "What?" "Oh, well, the second course." And when they return, they bring with them a whole rack of ribs, 4 quarter chickens, and a whole Santa Maria tri-tip. Oh, I didn't mention the chocolate cake, did I? I'm telling you, that meal was a huge blessing. Our family felt so loved by this generous family. I gained 5 pounds, but we felt so loved by this generous family. Now, Martha's problem in Luke 10 is not that she was creating an elaborate meal. The problem is not the serving. The problem is not the amount of serving. The problem is Martha was distracted by serving. Remember that word, distracted? It's actually the Greek word, paraspao. It's the only time this word is used in the New Testament. I draw your attention to it because of its meaning. Literally, it means to be pulled away. Do you feel like you're being pulled in a dozen different directions at once? Are you trying to save your company while you counsel your coworker, while you fix your marriage and manage your money, while you shovel your sidewalk and make dinner before you take kids to art class on the way to the grocery store before Bible study? Look back at verse 40. "But Martha was distracted with much serving." Serving is good. But good goes bad when it gets in the way of something better. From what was Martha distracted? The answer is found in the actions of her sister. Martha was distracted from sitting and listening to Jesus. Martha was putting everything she had into serving Jesus, but serving Jesus got in the way of listening to Jesus. Luke's contrast of the two sisters teaches us an important lesson about discipleship. Are you ready for it? The best thing you can do for God is be with God. The best thing you can do for God is be with God. A lot of us think the best thing we can do for God is be perfect. A lot of us think the best thing we could do for God is be productive. But I'll tell you, it seems to me, it actually is to be with Him. Because when we're with Him, that's when He makes us perfect from the inside out. He shows us those rough edges that need to be trimmed off. It is when we're with Him that He helps us to be productive. He helps us to see the people in our lives that we need to love better. No. The best thing you can do for God is to be with Him. I don't think churches are very good at teaching this. Most churches will give you the impression that giving and serving is the most important thing you do. And mind you, it is important. Look at the text we looked at last week. It is an essential part of the life of a disciple. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a text and we said, there's nothing like being used by God. And there's really nothing like it. It's an incredible experience for God to use you and for Him to be productive through you. It's wonderful. But the truth is, the best thing you can do for God is be with God. And if you're too busy to sit at Jesus' feet and listen, I think you're too busy. It's easy to become so busy doing for God, you don't have time to be with God. And maybe you got to that place without realizing it. There are some signs you can watch out for. People who prioritize doing over being tend to get really fussy. Look at verse 40. And she, Martha, went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And I can picture Martha getting to this point. The pasta water is overflowing. The lava cake is burning. She ran out of sugar before the sweet tea got sweetened. She's likely cooking for a lot of people. So you can understand why she's coming unglued as her sister sits in front of Jesus. Something I've noticed, doing stuff for God doesn't always go the way you plan it. This weekend was the perfect example. This weekend was the paragon of imperfection, if you must know. Yesterday, I was trying to finish this message before the Saturday evening service, and I got to be honest with you, it just wasn't coming together. I thought this one would be easy peasy lemon squeezy. It was not. And I don't know what was wrong. I don't know what was happening, but I just couldn't get it together. My deadline was bumped up earlier because I was being helpful. Here's what I'm doing. I've kind of got this Martha thing in me as well. And I'm multitasking and our normal drummer Joel was out of town this weekend. And I said, you know what, Suze, let me just fill in for you. It's like we did in the old days and it'll just be easy. Right. So my deadline was bumped up because I had to get to the band practice on Saturday, but what made matters worse is, you know, I muddled through the practice with this great, great band. And we get to this opening song last night. We did the same set we did today in this service. And we start with that Psalm 9 song. And it starts a little soft and then it kicks. You know what I mean? It kicks. And one of the things that you need when you're a drummer is you need what's called a kick drum. You see that big, fat drum right in the center, right on the floor? Arguably, that is the most important drum on that drum set because of what it does with the band and the feel it brings to the room. Now, I might go off camera for a moment because I want to grab something. Yesterday, opening note, I kick it and this is what happens. Now, here's the deal. Working with, I've been a drummer for almost 30 years. I break drum heads. I broke a stick earlier. Sticks break all the time. I've broken cymbals. I have never in 30 years broken a kick drum head because they're really thick and usually they wear out before they break and you replace them before they break. This one, I mean, I just shot right through it and I paid for it the whole set and it sounded terrible. It was a nightmare, you know, and so I'm trying to manage that. I'm trying to manage this mess of a sermon last night. It's probably just to the, and out there in the congregation, it just, that's probably what it felt like to them. You know, and, you know, I walk away from a service like that. And we're more common than you think. I walk away from a service like that and a sermon like that. And, yeah, I'm ticked. I'm ticked when things go wrong because, you know, these things are important. And I know these services at Capital are not the most important things in the world, but I know, you know, we do them to help point people to Jesus at all different places on this journey. And we certainly hope that's what happens. And we don't want stupid things like kick drums and stupid sermons to get in the way of that. But at the end of the day, as amped up as I am, I really just saw it as another opportunity to remember my worth is not found in what I do. It's really not. And I know that in my bones. I mean, I work hard. I throw myself into my work. I bring my best every week. But if my best falls flat, and it often does, if my best falls flat, I don't think Jesus minds as much as I do. Because the best thing you can do for God is be with God. The best thing you could do for God is be with God. And He cares a whole lot more about me personally connecting to Him than me personally doing something awesome for Him. And Martha's culture, her honor and her reputation hinge on the successful management of her home. So she's ticked. She's miffed. She's upset. She looks to her sister. How dare you? How dare you not help me in such a time as this? How dare my lazy bum of assembly selfishly sit on her backside while I serve the Lord selflessly? Detect a hint of self-righteousness? Read verse 40 with me again. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. You see, her intensity isn't only directed at her sister, is it? She's rebuking Jesus. Don't you care? I can't tell you how many times I've been upset with God for not helping me do what I want to do for God. You hear that? Because I got great plans for God. Getting the priorities of doing and being reversed makes people anxious, critical, complainers. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Now, Martha rebukes Jesus. Jesus, however, offers a gentle response. This isn't annoyance. Using her name twice signifies tenderness and affection. Jesus says to his well-meaning but wrong disciple, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. He recognizes Martha's stress, and I'm sure he appreciates her service. But Martha's service is getting in the way of something more important. Jesus says, only one thing is necessary. Now, this could mean only one dish is necessary, as in, don't go all Martha Stewart on us. A 30-minute meal will do. He might mean one dish is enough, but more likely he explains the one thing in the next verse, verse 42. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus calls Mary's choice the good portion. It's these words that give us the primary reason I chose this translation. Other translations offer different words, though they're easier to understand. They miss the metaphor. In the Hebrew scriptures, your portion is your allotment. Now, it can refer to your inheritance of land that was passed down to from your family in Israel. It could refer to your inheritance, but it often refers to the food you've been served as well, as it does here in Luke 10. Jesus is continuing bringing this image of a meal into the conversation of Martha and Mary. As Martha slaves over a hot stove, Jesus gently informs her, Mary's making the better meal. Mary's making the better meal. What's he talking about? Well, in the scriptures, sometimes when an individual speaks of his portion, he's speaking about his land or his food. But over time, the writers of the Hebrew scriptures began to speak of it about God himself. Look at Psalm 16 and verse 5. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. You're my portion. It is from you I draw strength and energy and sustenance. You. A similar idea is found in Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Picture Mary sitting and listening and learning. There was a saying about rabbis and disciples written about 100 years before the time of Jesus. I've shared it with you before. The saying goes, let your home be a meeting house for the sages. Cover yourself with the dust of their feet and drink in their words thirstily. Okay, the first part of this. Let your home be a meeting house for the sages. This is this idea of allow these rabbis to enter your home. Welcome them. Be hospitable to them. And let your home be a place of teaching and learning. Right? Next line. Cover yourself with the dust of their feet. Here's the image of follow as a disciple. Follow that rabbi so closely that by the end of the day, you're covered in the dust that was kicked up by his feet. And the last line, drink in their words thirstily. Imagine the thirst you have after hard work on a hot summer day. Now, Martha nailed the first part of this saying. But Mary has grasped its meaning. Here she is, sitting at the feet of Jesus, reprioritizing her world. And actually going against the grain of culture while she does it. But she realizes the best thing you can do for God is be with God. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take some time in this service, and I want to show you a video. I want to show you a video about what we just talked about. And as you see it, I encourage you, open your heart to God. Let him speak to you. Let him personalize the truth of the text to your life. And let's see what happens. Go ahead and roll the video. When we think back on that passage in Luke 10, you know, it's not exactly a passage about stress. Though some of us probably need one. It's not a passage about rest, though that might be helpful as well. Neither is it a simple or a complete lesson on priorities. The passage doesn't exactly tell you how to order your world, but it does tell you what to put first. Jesus. Listening and learning from Jesus. Do you need to reprioritize your life? What are the things pulling you away from him? Sometimes it's doing for God. Sometimes we act as if we have to earn his favor, earn his approval. Sometimes it's doing for God. Sometimes it's just doing work, chores, friends, fun. So many things. So many things keep us from sitting and listening. I'll take you back to one of the verses we read earlier, verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. There's one line in here. It's important for me to point this out to you, because I wish we could see it in English, but it rarely shows up in an English translation. It's that line, it says, she sat at the Lord's feet. In Greek, it's a reflexive sentence. So something literal, it sounds choppy in English, but literally it says, she sat herself at the Lord's feet. It expresses intentionality. Mary sat herself down. She was intentional. Maybe you and I should be more intentional. Because friends, the best thing you can do for God is be with God. The best thing you can do for God is be with God. Look, even if you're very early in the spiritual journey, you're just beginning to ask questions about God and faith. Get serious about learning from Him. Expose yourself to the teaching of Jesus. See if it adds up. As Christians, we believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. And if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. That's the best place to find out what God is like. Well, see for yourself. Expose yourself to the teachings of Jesus and see if you find God. But you got to be intentional about it. The best thing you can do for God is be with God. This applies to all of us. I know some of you are in a very difficult season. But if it doesn't apply in difficult seasons, when does it apply? You know, my schedule is pretty predictable at church. There are certain seasons that are more difficult than others. And they come and go with the calendar. This is one of those difficult seasons where I'm just spread a little too thin. And when I get up on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday morning really early and I begin to prepare for a message or a meeting or this or that, I look at my to-do list. I'm already behind. And I'm just so tempted to just dive right into work rather than take a little time and sit at His feet. I say that I'm so tempted. I don't know if I can say that anymore because I've learned. I've learned that in His presence, that's the best place for me to find how best to help people. It is in His presence where I find why it doesn't matter when drumheads break and sermons flop. It's worth it. It's worth it to carve out the time. Will you think about that this week? Pray with me. Father, I pray for my friends. No matter who they are or where they are, may they respond to this invitation to sit at your feet and learn. Every single one of them, man, woman, boy, and girl, as Jesus showed us, it doesn't matter who you are. He invites you to sit and listen. Help us prioritize this. Help us be practical about it and find the right disciplines. Carving out time to read the Bible. Carving out time to pray. Carving out time to read a book. Attend a small group. Whatever it might be. Help us take this seriously, we pray. And through it, may we come to know You more. I pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. If you came with a need, there will be some people that'll be at the front of this meeting room when the service is over. You're welcome to come up and join us. Let them pray for you and for whatever need you might have. For all of you, may you order your world around the one thing. May you leave enough room on your plate for the good portion. May you recognize the best thing you can do for God is be with God. Thanks for coming today. Grace and peace.